Welcome to the Sober Gay Sunday podcast, a podcast about being gay and sober and not just on Sundays. In this podcast, we'll explore the ins and outs of being queer and sober in a world where drinking and using is woven into the fabric of our culture. This season, we'll be hearing the stories of addiction and recovery from sober gays from all over the world. Every story of recovery is unique in its own way, and every story deserves to be heard. So let's go. In this episode, we welcome back Omar. Omar is a proud first-generation college graduate from San Francisco State University, an academic journey made possible through working the steps of Crystal Meth Anonymous. Omar has been in the room since 2015 with varying lengths of sobriety and is currently in his prosperous era. He gives back through service to his fellowship as the events coordinator with the goal of making social events for recovery accessible and affordable for all. Please welcome Omar.
It's a great journey. I mean, for sure, it's like you got to concentrate on, it's easy for us to kind of throw our focus on other people around us and everything that they're doing wrong. And then you're just like, yeah, just to, it can ruin the experience of why you're there. So that's definitely a poignant point. So if you're going to call like somebody out, or you're going to have like someone you want to give some support to, who's your biggest supporter? Like who in your life has like been a rock and who's been there? Speak on who, you know, really has been there for you.
That would be my dad, who passed away during COVID.
So sorry to hear that.
Thank you. I know I'm crying, but actually he was so amazing to me. He's the reason why in recovery I attempted to go back to school. He would not let up on it. Like he would constantly like, oh my God, he would never leave me alone about it. It was like every conversation, it would just end there. He's like, so when you go back to school? Yeah. And that's just one example. Like that, he would do that same thing in every area. Like, so when are you gonna fix your credit? So when are you gonna buy a new car? So when are you gonna get off the streets? And he did it in a way that he had a very soft touch, a very tender touch, and he did not. He never was firm with me. He was always really supportive and empathetic, and just would always just lift me up. And and even though he's gone, it's still that memory and that experience. Like I still feel him around me all the time, and I still think about him and the things that I do when I'm struggling, when I feel like I can't like do this Zoom. Like when I want to quit my job, I hear my dad saying like, "So, yeah, I just hear that voice, and I'm like, can't quit my job, can't do this. Like I got to keep going because these little reasons of why I think I need to do have these intense reactions, like they're not really there. I just need to have like a soft touch with myself." Yeah. And so I would say that my dad is the biggest supporter. In the afterlife, he still comes to me in my dreams and helps me out from time to time. So
yeah, that's really wonderful. One of my best friends back now 10 years ago was like such a hard ass on me about getting, you know, clean and sober too, and he passed away about 10 years ago. So I feel that kind of like every time I want to make a bad decision, I kind of think of him being here too. And so I feel that's really meaningful and really, really moving. I love that. So if you could give one piece of advice to someone who's newly sober, what would it be?
Someone who's newly sober?
Newly sober, yeah.
You said? Uh-huh. To someone who's newly sober, don't pick someone who you think is attractive to your sponsor. It works for me in the end, but yeah, that's definitely one of the primary things, because I just remember, right? Because we're so driven to gravitate to something that's aesthetically pleasing. But I would say don't look for what's aesthetically pleasing. Look for what's substantively pleasing. Like don't go by what looks good, go by what sounds good, is what I would say. So be drawn to the things that sound good to you and not that look good, because they can both be the same thing. But yeah. Look for meaning and substance.
Yeah, slippery slope with that too, for sure. It's like, you know, I feel that. So one thing that I've experienced a lot in my sobriety, which is a big help for me, is being so open about it online and being so just right in your face. I get a lot of people who approach me about people in their life that are currently in active addiction. And it's one of the hardest things it's one of the best things, one of the hardest things, because you have people from all over being like, my brother, my son, my dad is, in the middle of addiction. Like, what do I do? So if you could give some advice to someone who is dealing with a loved one that's currently in active addiction, what would that advice be?
I would say kind of like how I was given that virtual pamphlet. Eventually I went back to it, and this I'm gonna like boost the literature, because literature is one of those things like at the end of meetings where it's like such a like it's a there's literature. But literature is what is how I remember. That was the anchor for me. That was like the thing that was somebody kept giving me, and not saying, "Omar, you need to go recovery. Omar, you need to do this." It was just like, "Hey, here's this thing that I did, and you can read it on your own." So what I would say is, give that loved one who's struggling, give them a pamphlet, give them something that they can internalize on their own, and do not force it down their throat. Or do not tell them like, "Yeah, there's recovery. Like, I heard there's this meeting. You should go to this." Because I remember people trying to do that to me, and I wasn't used to being told what to do. So if you tried to tell me what to do, that was the my first reaction was always like, "Someone's trying to tell me what to do, so I'm not going to do that." But through my experience, it was just, yeah, I would say give them something that they can read on their own, whether it's a link or a pamphlet, and let them just, you might need to give it to them a couple times, because I remember I did throw a couple of those pamphlets out of the window. Like, I was barreling down the freeway, and I remember, man, just throwing it out, being like, "It's set in my armrest." But I would say that's probably like, and the other thing too is to get out of their way. The fastest way for me, the fastest way that I was able to come into the rooms, or to get to that, there was like I people had stopped coddling me. I had stopped, and that descent was so quick and so fast and so hard. It's that impact that made me wake up. And I think that's the best thing you can do for a loved one who's struggling, is to get out of the way and let them struggle.
True. Yeah, the fall kind of has to happen, right? Like, you got to just let them hit the ground. Unfortunately, it's one of the toughest things.
Yes.
Actually, you love someone so much, you don't want them to be like suffering, but we all know back in our own recovery how like you had no one could tell you anything. Like, you don't know me. So I run an organization here in Boston called Sober Gay Sunday, which is an organization that does events for members of the LGBT community in recovery. So we do stuff like beach days and axe throwing and paint nights and archery and stuff like that. So if you could host a dream Sober Gay Sunday event, what would it be and why?
I have this I would love to do a healing arts like workshop, like a healing arts, like a repetitive thing where they don't need to be trained clinicians, because I don't think the experience that I had, I don't think they were trained clinicians. But I just remember going to this thing called it was called Healing Arts, and it was this thing where you would show up and you would just start you they had a like tables and baskets and all kinds of art supplies, everything, like even clay, and you picked whatever you wanted, and you just started you would do whatever you wanted with the stuff that was there. And they would have some folks that would walk around and then talk to you about like the art that you were doing, and like, "Hey, what's going on in your life? And show me that, through this clay sculpture, like how to like what are your the things that you're going through, what you're feeling, like put that into this painting, put that into this drawing." And I went back to that. I think that's the first serious relationship I was ever in, was that healing arts class, was because, and I oh and I still I, I'm sorry I can't reach for it right now, but I still have several of those paintings that I made, because they've stood the test of time, they've stood the test of geography. Like, I make sure that those pieces are always with me, because of how beautiful it felt to create art And to have like to be able to connect with somebody and for somebody to connect with you through an expression that did not involve just like, a plain room. And you remember I was talking about that basement, those
Yep.
tables and chairs like that.
Right.
This was kind of like the opposite of that. It was just like a really serene and artistic environment. And I'm an artistic person, so I would say that'd be like my dream event is to do that, healing
That's pretty
arts
cool.
class.
I wrote that down because that sounds like a great idea. A really cool like healing art class would be amazing. So now that we're coming kind of towards the end of the interview, where can people find you on social media if they want to reach out?
So I'm on Instagram, and my handle is SFO Morales. So it's S as in Sam, F as in Frank, O as in Omar. And then my last name, which is Morales.
Very cool, very cool. We'll put that in the show notes too to make sure that people can reach out and find you. So I want to thank you very much for being on the Sober Gay Sunday podcast. This has been a really amazing interview.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the work that you put into social events. That sounds really cool. Like I was not aware that was part of your vibe. I fully support it. Like if there's ever anything that I can do to help or contribute or I don't know, maybe come visit and maybe come attend one of your programs.
It'd be great.
I
It'd be
would
great.
love because
It's a fun thing. It's tough wrangling a bunch of gay men to go one place at one time, but we do our best. Trust, trust. But thank you. I
Cool.
appreciate that. So you have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sober Gay Sunday podcast. Please feel free to like, subscribe, share, and comment. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Sober Gay Sunday. You can also email me directly at SoberGaySunday@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, stay sober, guys.
I'm so sick of small talk, and tell me something you're talking in.